There's an old hymn that equates crossing the Jordan River with entering into heaven. However, Skip Heitzig says that's not really what the Jordan represents.
Crossing over the Jordan and entering into the land of Canaan speaks of believers today entering into the rest that God has promised them, Hebrews chapter 4, and taking in all of the promises by faith that God has given us, enjoying God's provision now, not waiting for heaven, but enjoying God's blessing right here, right now.
Make the connection.
Do you remember the game Risk? It's a game where you took armies and tried to dominate the world. While there was a certain amount of strategy involved, a lot of the outcome was left purely to chance as you rolled the dice to see if you would win or lose a battle. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig begins a new chapter in Israel's history that's a lot like the game of Risk. They moved from territory to territory in the Promised Land, conquering armies. But the outcome of those battles wasn't left up to chance. It was safely in God's hands. We'll begin today's study here in just a moment. But first, we want to let you know that you can help God with a different kind of conquest. The conquest of the human heart, when you join the Global Connectors.
Did you feel that? It's the world of technology shifting under our feet. Media delivery and communication is moving so fast, it seems like a landslide. Let's remember, the World Wide Web was not a major consumer factor in 1990. Now, we have screenagers who have never known life without Google. Our language has changed to include words like blog and phrases like, I'll Facebook you. It's changed entertainment with digital streaming of films on demand or opportunities to find 15 minutes of fame on YouTube. It's also changing evangelism by giving us opportunities to reach more people in more parts of the world than ever before. Let's remember, the Bible says all things were created for God's glory. So just as the Roman roads were really built not for legions, but for Paul's feet, the web's highest use is for the gospel and Bible teaching. At The Connection, we strive to stay on top of tech trends and use them to the max for our ministry. You can help as a member of the Global Connectors. With your monthly contribution, you'll make it possible for even more people in more countries to hear biblical teaching on the internet, to get digital and online resources to help people study the Bible, and for more people to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. Plus, each month, we'll send you a little thank you gift. This month, you'll receive a teaching from Skip Heitzig called, You're on a Mission from God.
So you've seen that bumper sticker, I'd rather be fishing. God would rather have you be fishing too, but fishing for souls, fishing for men.
The Connection continues to find new ways to use technology to spread God's word around the world. And you can help make that happen as a Global Connector. Find out how you can sign up today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
And we'd love to share with you more about what's going on worldwide with The Connection, so find out more when you call us 1-800-922-1888 or just log on to connectionradio.org. And you can also write us here at The Connection anytime. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Now, the book of Joshua has some of the most famous stories in the Bible, but it also has some very important warnings about compromise with the world's culture. Warnings that we would be wise to pay heed to.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the word of God and find the way into his love. Make the connection.
Open your Bibles to the book of Joshua. And let's join Skip Heitzig as he begins today with a reminder that God is always as good as his word.
When God makes a promise, you can make sure that he's going to fulfill it. The Bible says he's the author and the finisher of our faith. So when God promises to do something, he's going to bring it to fulfillment. And God has had a goal for the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that is to occupy a piece of land that was Canaanite territory. Of course, the Canaanites weren't too excited about the children of Israel being in that part of the world as today. There's lots of people that aren't too excited about Israel being in that part of the world. But it's the land that God promised to give them. And so they're there at the brink of the land, about ready to cross over the Jordan River. There's a great passage of scripture in Deuteronomy, I think it's chapter 6, where Moses said, God brought you from there that he might bring you in. In other words, the goal of God wasn't to just take them out of Egypt, but to take them into a land of promise. And you could look at that in your own life. God's plan and purpose didn't end with you just turning from your past life. But he has a whole brand new life for you to enjoy. All of the promises, all of the blessings that he wants you to enjoy. That's part of it. Well, in the book of Genesis, if we can just quickly review, since we're in a new section. The book of Genesis talks about beginnings. The beginning of the universe, the beginning of sin, the beginning of God's solution to eradicate sin. The beginning of a special family that would grow into a nation that would bring forth the Messiah. All that is the book of Genesis. By the time we get to the book of Exodus, we see that the family has grown into a sizable nation from 70 people now to an entire nation. The only problem is they're oppressed in the land of Egypt. God raises up a deliverer, that it would be Moses, and brings them out, which takes us to the book of Leviticus. It's all about worship. How to approach God through a sacrificial system and a priesthood, all pointing to Christ. And then the book of Numbers we saw was a book of failure. How that God wanted them to enter the land, and it says it's an 11-day journey from Mount Sinai to enter the land of promise. They managed to turn an 11-day march into a 40-year meander. They wandered around the desert for 40 years. And then we saw the book of Deuteronomy, which is three farewell speeches by Moses. He's 120 years old. It's a new generation he speaks to. And Deuteronomy bridges the gap between the first four books of the Bible and the next seven books. For the first four, and even the fifth, Deuteronomy itself, is Israel outside of the land. The next seven books, the historical books, will be Israel inside the land that God promised. And now we come to the book of Joshua. Joshua can be divided into three slices. It's very simple. Chapters 1 through 5, they're entering the land. Chapters 6 through 12, they're conquering the land. In chapters 13 through 24, they're distributing the land. So entering, conquering, and distributing. And tonight, we'll only have time for entering and conquering in part. So let's jump into Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, where they start to enter the land. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all of this people, to a land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. According to Josephus, Joshua was born as a slave in the land of Egypt. And when he was 80 years old, he was commissioned by Moses, sort of like Moses himself, when he was 80 years old, was commissioned by God to be deliverer. And Josephus says that at age 80, Joshua was given the command of the children of Israel. He was Moses' assistant or aide or helper. And we understand from way back in the book of Exodus, around chapter 17, that Joshua served as Israel's first military commander. When they had that battle with the Amalekites, Joshua was the guy heading it up. And some scholars actually believe that Joshua at one time was in the Egyptian army. Now, that's a fact that not many people know or talk about, but many scholars believe that before he was even in the wilderness with Moses, he served in the Egyptian army. Now, that sounds strange, except there's enough archaeological evidence to suggest that there are lists of names, Jewish names, Semitic names, that have been discovered by archaeology of Jewish people, Semitic people serving in the Egyptian army. So it could be that Joshua was one of them. And so he had military experience and he became the general. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. So the land was a gift. They didn't deserve it. They didn't earn it. God gave it to them. In fact, God promised it before they were even around. He promised it to Abraham, didn't he? And though it was a gift, like any gift, you have to receive it. You have to open the package. And here was the deal. It's yours. However, it's only where the soles of your feet walk that you will actually enjoy. And as we mentioned last time, God promised to the children of Israel, and it's outlined here in the dimensions, 300,000 square miles. However, they only occupied, with David and later on Solomon, they only occupied 30,000 square miles of all that God promised them. So only one-tenth of all that God gave to them, they actually enjoyed because they actually walked upon it and dared to take God at his promise. No man, verse 5, shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. I will never forget a very unusual experience that I had in the land of Israel. Let me explain. There was a little boy that I remember growing up in the land. I watched him grow up because every year when we did tours, our tour guide's son was a little bit older. And I was over there one time when this young kid was now an army soldier. And I was able to go to his swearing-in ceremony. And they had this long hike through the desert sun, and it culminated on top of this mountain in Judah, where they had a torchlight ceremony and a band, and the relatives came. And the swearing-in service was interesting because there were two tables. On one table were a stack of guns, and the other table, a stack of Bibles. I know it sounds like you're in Texas, but this is Israel. And as the soldiers would come up, they would give each soldier a gun in one hand and a Bible in the other hand, the Old Testament, the Tanakh. And they were quoting from this very verse of Scripture, Joshua chapter 1. Be strong, be courageous, for the Lord your God is giving you the land. So the idea is that you fight for it, but you do it because it's God who has given you this right to inherit this land. Now look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So they're going into a new land, the land of Canaan. And Canaan in the Bible represents something. Joshua is more than just a historical book filled with military campaigns. By the time we get to the New Testament, we find that that is a representation of something else. The question is, what does it represent? If you were to follow the theology of the ancient hymn writers, some of them, you would think that the land of Canaan represents heaven. Because some of the hymns, including Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, remember that song? Swing Low, if you ever have heard that song. Sweet Chariot, coming for to carry me home. Here's some of the lyrics. When I look over Jordan, coming for to carry me home, I see a band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. And then the chorus, Okay, well. Good. Well, you got it. Some of you got it. Okay, enough. That ancient hymn sees crossing over the Jordan River as when you die and you enter the land of Canaan, that's heaven. Well, that's not what it represents. Because if Canaan represents heaven, then I hope you like to fight when you get to heaven. Because they settle the land. It takes them 7 hard years of battle after battle after battle. And it's tough going and it's hard going and there's trials. And then another 18 years of settling and distributing. It means not death. Crossing over the Jordan and entering into the land of Canaan speaks of believers today entering into the rest that God has promised them. Hebrews chapter 4. And taking in all of the promises by faith that God has given us. Enjoying God's provision now. Not waiting for heaven, but enjoying God's blessing right here, right now. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out 2 men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go and view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab, and they lodged there. And the rest of the chapter tells how this harlot took in these 2 spies, brought them to the roof, hid them under some flax, so that when people from the city came in to inquire, they couldn't be seen. And then she goes on to tell these 2 spies about her faith in the God of Israel. It's a very unusual story. Let me just give you a little picture of the topography of the land. When Israel invaded Canaan around 1450 BC, 1440 BC, right around there, the land of Canaan was a bunch of individual city-states. They had their own governmental structure. They weren't big cities, but they were walled cities. And that is because they used to fight each other. They were at odds with each other. It was not a unified area. The city itself was its own country, its own state. And it would fight neighboring cities unless there was an outside force invading them. Then suddenly they united against the invading force. So the children of Israel are that invading force at this point. And the first city right around the middle of the land is the city of Jericho. So the 2 spies come in. 2 spies. Interesting that there are 2 spies. Because back in chapter 1, verse 8, as we read, God tells Joshua to keep everything that is written in the law, right? Do it all. Do all that is written in the law. So how many spies did Moses, his predecessor, send into the land of Canaan? 12 of them. Why did Joshua only send 2 and not 12? Well, because he was one of the 2 that gave a good report. He figured 10 of them were worthless anyway. I don't need them. All you need is 2. Deuteronomy says, by the mouth of 2 witnesses, every word will be established. So thinking back historically, Numbers 13 and 14, where he was one of the 2 who gave the good report by faith and was allowed to enter the land, he sends out 2 instead of 12. These 2 meet Rahab. As we see here, she was a harlot. Rahab becomes famous because of this chapter, this incident. We'll see her pop up in the Bible in the future. For instance, in Hebrews chapter 11, Rahab will be mentioned in the Hall of Fame, or we call it the Hall of Faith. In fact, it says in Hebrews 11, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. Also, Rahab is mentioned in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember in my high school annual, at the very back, there were little sections of special people. Best dressed, most spirited. And I remember this one, most likely to succeed. By the way, I was not in any of those categories. In fact, if there would have been a category, most unlikely to succeed, I might have showed up in that picture. It seems that God works with a very unusual principle. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And Rahab would be in that little section most unlikely to succeed, or at least most unlikely to appear in the genealogy of the Messiah of the world, a harlot. But her faith was stellar. As these two spies come in, she says, look, we've heard all about you guys. Everybody in Jericho is afraid of you guys. We heard how the Lord opened up the Red Sea and brought you in on dry land. We heard how you defeated those two kings on the other side of the river. We're terrified of you guys. And then she says, the Lord your God, he is God. And it would seem that she and her family were the only ones in Jericho that believed that. Everyone else, though they were in fear and they might have been convicted, they didn't make a statement of faith or move toward the God of Israel, except for Rahab. She did. There's a lot of people today who in their heart of hearts know that there is a God and that they should get right with God. And there's even a conviction in their heart whenever they hear the Bible preached or they see you at work. Every time you're around them, they get a little tense because they know that they should get right with God. You represent him. But what they'll do is erect walls of doubt, walls of their own good works, walls of unbelief or excuses why they can't become a Christian. Like the people of Jericho, they live behind their walls, but it's those few like Rahab who said, I believe in your God. So look at verse 12. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. Verse 13, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters. Verse 14, our lives for your lives, they say. Verse 17, so the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this rope or cord or thread, this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all of your father's household to your own home. So, as the people of Israel would march around Jericho in the next several days, they would be able to see that there was one window of one house, and some of the houses were built right on the wall, that was a scarlet thread hanging over.
You know, it's tough in our instant gratification world to actually have to wait for something. Yet sometimes that's exactly what we have to do when it comes to God's promise. However, no matter how long the wait may be, God will keep his promises to us, and therefore we must always be ready to seize them when the time comes. That's all the time we have for today. But before we go, we'd like to encourage you to go deeper in your own study of the Bible. And here's a couple of resources to help you do that.
Here's a resolution for 2010 that can last far beyond February 1st. As you take a part in the Bible from 30,000 feet on the Connection, we want to offer a set of Bible study tools that will help you dig deeper into the Word of God. First in this set is Skip Heitzig's book, How to Study the Bible and Enjoy It. Here you'll cover the basics and discover tools and helpful hints as you learn to search the Scriptures. In-depth Bible study will become easier with the Nelson Bible Dictionary and the new Strong's Concordance, both in compact size. All three of these books are in our Connection Study Kit for just $30 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Studying and understanding the Bible isn't just the job of your pastor. It's the job of every Christian who wants to grow and thrive in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Get Skip's How to Study the Bible and Enjoy It, plus a compact version of a Bible dictionary and Strong's Concordance, all for just $30. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
And when you contact us, you can also ask for a copy of today's teaching, which is available for just $6, including shipping. Just call 1-800-922-1888. Or for more resources from our current series, The Bible from 30,000 Feet, just visit BibleFrom30K.org. Anything you share above that suggested donation will help support this ministry and its continuing outreach efforts. We certainly thank all of you who have supported this ministry in the past. Also, don't forget to ask about Skip Stevo Mail and how you can sign up to receive them each week. Give us a call at 1-800-922-1888 or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And thank you for your support of The Connection.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
We'll continue to examine how Israel moved into the Promised Land and the parallel those events have with our own lives next time here on The Connection. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.